God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. This passage really hit me when I was celebrating my oldest sister's wedding mass. Some of you have seen your children get married, so you know this experience of sort of handing your children away. Some of you have seen your brothers and sisters get married, and the same thing. But here I am, like, getting to celebrate my older sister's wedding mass, which is really powerful. And I like my brother-in-law. He's a fine guy. He lives in Illinois, but all things can be forgivable. brought my sister to Illinois, swept her away. And it, like, hit me. I hadn't thought about it much, but I'm like, oh my gosh, Hannah is leaving our family. Not entirely, but something new was happening, that she was forming a union of her own, distinct from my parents. She kind of now falls into a different category, and she and her husband get to pave their way forward. It hit me, like, really strongly that she had to leave our household, leave mom and dad and my other sisters behind, so that she could cling to her husband. And praise God. Praise God for that. And they're going to have a baby this December. He's due on the Feast of Juan Diego, so that's my going name for the child. Like, little Juan, you know. And it's just such a gift. But they are no longer two, Hannah and John. They are one flesh. And what God has joined together, no human being must separate. This is the strong message that Jesus gives us, that something happens on a wedding day, that this one person and then this one person, they walked into the church separately, but they leave together. They leave together on a journey towards Christ, that it's both of their responsibilities to get each other to heaven, and that God intended for this union to be something that's permanent, something that's lasting through the trials and difficulties of life, that husband and wife, for better or for poorer, in sickness and in health, in good times and in bad, they are to remain united side by side, that you say, I promise to be faithful to you in all these circumstances, that you are going to be with me and I am going to be with you, that it's better to do life together than to do it on my own. It's important that Jesus gives us the teaching on marriage. We want to hear it from his mouth. It's important that if Jesus had said nothing about marriage, we could have thought, well, we can make it whatever we want it to be. But Jesus speaks to us about marriage, and it's the foundation of our society, because marriage is the foundation of family life. And if we want families to thrive, mom and dad need to love each other, support each other, lead each other in the ways that they uniquely can. And marriage is the foundation of family life. It's important that husband and wife stay united. In other words, that they don't divorce. It's essential because God intends man and woman to bring children into the world. And children are permanent. They're not going anywhere. So it's important that mom and dad aren't going anywhere. That mom and dad get to love this child. Every child deserves to grow up with a loving mother and father. That mom and dad are there not just to produce this child and leave them to figure out whatever he or she is supposed to do, but that mom and dad get to form them and instruct them and correct them and watch them flourish as they grow into other relationships with family and with friends. It's the most unique and most beautiful thing to bring a new life into this world. And that is protected by the institution of marriage, of man and woman loving each other, staying committed to each other. That's the place of security for a child. And mom and dad begin to reflect the love of God, that God is committed to me, that God is faithful even when I'm imperfect, and mom forgives dad and dad forgives mom. That's a place of security. And I know many of you haven't received that in your own childhood years. Some of you have experienced the pain of divorce in your own life. And maybe that's even the best witness of how important it is that Jesus doubles down that man and woman are to remain united. That divorce was not in God's plan. It's a real trial. that God intended husband and wife to be joined together, for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate. And the Lord Jesus knows that the world is full of distractions. There's going to be temptations that husband and wife, that there would be a wedge brought in between them. And there's myriad of things that would bring husband and wife to grow distant, to grow cold, that there would be something in between them, some division. That's why forgiveness and communication are so important in the life of married persons. That we have to grow in that. Those of you who aren't married, that I have to grow in communicating how I'm feeling, how things are going. I have to lean into trusting other people. That I have to learn how to forgive so I don't hold on to the small grievances that plague my life. That I can't let all of these things dictate the decisions that I make. That if I'm going to be a person who's committed, that I need to lean in to the ways that I forgive other people. We need strong marriages because marriages bring about families, these unique lives that you and I have been the beneficiaries of. And that's a scary thing for a world that's really careful or not careful about how we use sex, that we can use sex however we want. The church is pro-sex, but to use it in the place that it belongs, in the union, the faithful union of husband and wife, because it brings about children from that exchange. This Sunday is Pro-Life Sunday, Respect Life Sunday, when the church asks us to once again renew our commitment to love the sanctity of each and individual human life. That when a child is conceived in the womb, there's a whole new set of DNA, bodily formation. And then God infuses a human soul. That this child is to experience abundant life as Jesus promised. It's a really unique thing. It's wild to think that once a child is conceived, you think about this, once a child is conceived, it has an immortal soul, a soul that will not die. Once a child is conceived, that person will never now not exist. Once you are existing, you will never, no longer, never exist. You will always exist. That God has a plan for every human soul to be able to experience abundant life in this world and the new life to come. It's not just a biological process, but that God has a place for you in his kingdom, that God has a commitment to your life, that your life matters profoundly. Your life is precious. And here, Jesus urges us in the gospel, let the children come to me. Do not prevent them. Let the children come to me. Do not prevent them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these children. Protecting all innocent human life brings us to the issue here in Missouri, in the state of Missouri, of Amendment 3 as you guys approach the ballot come next month. Amendment 3 is a constitutional amendment that's going to appear before you. Sidebar, for those of you especially who are, it's going to be your first time voting in an election, you need to register to vote before Wednesday, I think. So get on that. It is your moral and civic responsibility to get out and to vote and to have a well-informed conscience as you go to the polls. Amendment 3 is going to change the Constitution of Missouri. It's written deceptively, but its ultimate aim is it's vast. It's pretty large. The hope for those in favor of it is to allow for abortion really at any time of the pregnancy, even beyond the point of viability, which is about 24 weeks of pregnancy, all the way up to the time where a woman could give birth. The amendment says that the state government cannot prohibit abortion, meaning that there cannot be any interference during the entire 9 months of pregnancy legally. So the woman's desires will choose over and above government regulations. And the amendment proposes that a woman could choose this procedure for any physical or mental reason. So if there's any sort of anxiety or panic mentally, that she can go to a healthcare professional to receive this. And it's written to say healthcare professional, not necessarily a doctor. So a nurse, a physician's assistant, a dental hygienist, really anyone, any healthcare professional could perform this. Which also means if something were to go wrong, this woman wouldn't really necessarily have the resources to do it. And the amendment also proposes that she will have no recourse if something goes wrong, if her health is somehow or another put in danger, that she has no legal recourse to be able to sue the healthcare professional. The amendment would also remove a parent's ability to sort of intervene, that a person under the age of 18 could receive an abortion without having to notify mom or dad, which is really scary. You're a 16-year-old, you can't buy a vape, you can't get a tattoo, you certainly can't get alcohol, but you could terminate a life in your womb. Like, that's how far this is going. And it's as simple as a yes or a no for you when you go to the polls in November. So it's really important we be informed voters. It's important because every life matters. The government exists, laws exist to protect the most vulnerable in our society. And yet, for whatever reason, this amendment in particular seems to go after those most vulnerable, those people who do not have a voice, children in the womb. It's a really big deal here in Missouri. And God is so merciful. If you've been involved in an abortion, the Lord loves you, the Lord forgives you, the Lord has a future of hope for you, and the church loves you. And yet there's still so much work to do as we bring about what Jesus asked, to let the children come to him, that we would not prevent them, to let the children come to Jesus, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. So we as voters, as Missourians, we need to do our due diligence to read up on Amendment 3 and to renew our commitment to protect innocent life and to pray to change hearts. First of all, my heart needs to be changed. Like, sometimes I don't appreciate my life as much as I need to give thanks to the gift of God for my life. Let your heart be changed. Lord, I'm so thankful that I'm alive. And I want others to experience the fullness of life. And I want to be able to spread joy. I want to be able to choose kindness in the midst of this world so that others can know your blessings. My heart, first and foremost, needs to be changed. But all hearts need to be changed so that I can respect the life of those around me. We need strong marriages. We need strong families so that we can look around and see the love of God present in those around us, so that in Missouri, as in all places, abortion would be unthinkable. To see love in abundance in those around us. That we would bring children into a world that we know that they would receive love and care. Your life matters. Your life is precious. I give thanks to God today especially for his love for you and his commitment to your life. And pray that our hearts be changed. Let the children come to me. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these.